Welcome to the Development Policy Centre podcast. I'm Jonathan Prank. On the 18th and 19th of June, the University of Papua New Guinea, in partnership with the Development Policy Centre, hosted the 2015 Papua New Guinea Update in Port Moresby. You can find more on the update at our website, devpolicy.anu.edu.au. In this podcast, you will find the introduction to the conference and the inaugural address by Australian High Commissioner to PNG, Deborah Stokes.
Welcome to the main lecture chair and welcome to the University of Papua New Guinea. My name is Lawrence Sausa and I'll be the master of ceremony for this morning on the opening session of the 2015 PNG update. Those of you who are standing outside or still registering, I'd like to ask you to move in. We will start in a few seconds. Our main program, opening program. Those of you who are standing, let me ask you to take a seat. May I ask everybody in the main lecture theatre to stand, please? It is a custom for us to start our day with a word of prayer, so let me ask Imelda to come forward and open the session with a word of prayer. Imelda.
Thank you. May I kindly ask everyone to close your eyes and I'll do the prayer. Dear God Almighty, we come in reverence before your throne this morning. We thank you, God, for this day as we gather here today to mark yet another one of the remarkable events in the University of Papua New Guinea, which is the 2015 PNG Update Conference with the theme Development Challenges in the LNG Era. We acknowledge that your presence will be in the midst of us throughout today's conference. I commit the guest of honor, the dignitaries, the presenters, participants, and everyone who is present here today into your wonderful and mighty hands. May you grant wisdom and knowledge to the speakers as they speak on the various topics they have prepared in regards to the theme of the conference. And may you, Lord, also grant understanding and enlighten the participants as they listen to the presenters related topics related to the development challenges in the LNG era in PNG. Lord, we pray and believe that this conference will be a success and will bring tangible results that will be implemented by the respective stakeholders, including the private and the public sectors in PNG. Bless, guide, and keep everyone who is participating in this conference safe and well. Thank you, God Almighty. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and praise. In Jesus' wonderful and mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Imelda. For an occasion such as this, I think it is fitting for us to also begin the occasion with the national anthem. So let me ask you again, ladies and gentlemen, for us to stand. And Hera. Harold will come forward and lead us in the National Anthem. Many of us who have been to school, we know the National Anthem back to front and we know it by heart. So let's sing with Hera as he leads us into singing the National Anthem. Thank you.
Arise, all ye sons of this land. Let us sing of our joy to be free, praising God and rejoicing to be Papua New Guinea. Shout our name from the mountains to seas, Papua. Let us raise our voices and proclaim
2015 PNG update is the second time after last year we've managed to stage this important occasion. It used to be part of the calendar of Papua New Guinea previously, and for some time it has been stalled. So we resuscitated the particular update last year, beginning it again this year. Of course, this is a joint collaboration with our friends from the Australian National University, led by Professor Stephen House, in conjunction with the University of Papua New Guinea School of Business Administration. So, ladies and gentlemen, it is an important occasion for not only UPNG, but I think for Papua New Guinea as a whole, because the event brings together experts, commentators, policy experts of various fields to do presentations and discuss ongoing and very important issues affecting the development of Papua New Guinea. Today is the first day we will begin the two-day session for the 2015 Papua New Guinea update. And today as well, because this is the opening part of the two-day session, we are honored to have our special friends, guests and visitors to Papua New Guinea, and especially to the University of Papua New Guinea. My boss will do the honors by acknowledging their presence at some point. But a difficult part of the Master of Ceremony in any occasion is because it takes the owners to speak first, he has to make an announcement of their presence. So ladies and gentlemen, we have some very special friends and guests who have come to Papua New Guinea and come to the university for this particular occasion. So at this juncture, let me welcome and make a special mention of our guests and our friends who are here. We have His Excellency Walter North, U.S. Ambassador. Thank you for coming. We have Her Excellency, the Australian High Commissioner, Deborah Stokes. Thank you for coming. And of course, protocol dictates that I should have started with the minister, but I didn't start with the minister because the minister is University of Papua New Guinea tribesman. In Papua New Guinea, you must have house line from minister. So, Honorable James Marape, would like to welcome you once again to your alma mater, to your university. It is your university, and you're always welcome anytime you are here. So thank you for gracing us with your presence. We have, ladies and gentlemen, Professor Veronica Taylor, Dean, College of Asia Pacific, Australia National University with us today. Thank you for being here with us and for supporting us on this very important occasion and event. We have the Secretary for the Department of Finance, M2, and one of the members of the House line, Dr. Ken Nanga. The Secretary would like to thank you for gracing us with the presence and for being available here. And of course, our own Vice Chancellor, Professor Mellon, thank you for your support and thank you for being here with us. There's another important visitor that I'd like to mention who is here, who's, I think, have done a considerable number of work in his tenure as the Vice President of the World Bank, past Vice President. We'd like to also acknowledge the presence of Mr. Jim Andrews, former Vice President of the World Bank. And of course, our friends from the Australian National University of the Development Policy Center, led by the team led by Professor House, Thank you once again for coming and thank you for being part of us. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a long day ahead of us. So without further ado, let me now invite the Vice Chancellor of the University of Papua New Guinea, Professor Melang, to give his opening address.
Thank you, Master of Ceremony, Professor Sause. Good morning, everyone. I want to welcome all of you to the University of Papua New Guinea. And in doing so, make special acknowledgement of a number of distinguished guests who are present with us this morning. Honourable Minister for Finance, Mr. James Marape, welcome to the University of Papua New Guinea and to the PNG update, and thank you for accepting our invitation as one of the key keynote address, keynote speaker of this important update. Her Excellency Deborah Stoke, the Australian High Commissioner to Papua New Guinea, welcome to the University of Papua New Guinea. Jim Adams, former Vice President for the East Asia and Pacific World Bank, say welcome to the University of Papua New Guinea. Professor Veronica Tyler, Dean, College of Asia and Pacific Studies, Australian National University, welcome to Papua New Guinea. I know this is your first visit to PNG, and welcome to the University of Papua New Guinea. Of course, staff and students of the business school and the university and other distinguished participants, I warmly welcome you to the University of Papua New Guinea and to the update. And I want to make special mention of His Excellency, the U.S. Ambassador. Welcome to this update. Secretary Professor Nangan, until yesterday, who is a member of the University of Papua New Guinea, the Vice Chancellor's privilege to a number of information. That's why I said until yesterday. and of course, until recently also, I noticed our former Chancellor is with us, Mr. Pocowin. If I'm wrong, he's there. Welcome to the update, sir. And I'm not going to miss this opportunity by making a special recognition of Mr. Kenneher, the architect of the School of Business Administration. Sir, welcome. I would like you to stand up so that everyone will see you. This is the person who is responsible for the business school. Professor Stephen Howes and your staff there and you. Welcome also to the University of Papua New Guinea. This is truly an important update, and my presentation is in two parts. Firstly, as you know, I welcome all of you. And just to say that the University of Papua New Guinea and the Business School is very grateful that we have this partnership with the Australian National University in hosting this important forum. The update is an important activity in the university calendar, and it's been around for quite some time, but waned in the recent past until I became the Vice Chancellor, and we put it on the calendar again last year. We had a successful update, and of course this year. I think the update is very important in that it allows academics, practitioners, and other stakeholders to come together and dialogue on a number of critical development agenda of this country, to exchange ideas, and hopefully out of these ideas carve a body of knowledge that can allow us to develop, you know, a range of development agenda for this country, including policy. And so I hope that the UPNG has served this purpose, including others. For example, recently we had a number of seminars at the university, but more so the last 2 days, the constitution, 40 years of the constitution in this country. The UPNG provides this space so that we can all collectively meet to discuss a range of issues. When I look at the present update, the general theme covers a range of very important agenda. Education, human development, agriculture and forest, land development, private and public partnership. And I'm sure the next 2 days we'll see a range of topics being covered within those themes. I would, as I said, like to use the update provide a platform to encourage everyone to discuss openly your views about the LNG era and how it's going to shape the development of this country. And hopefully from those dialogues we will have to draw some useful lessons out of the discussions, create that body of knowledge, and of course more importantly disseminate that knowledge to societies so that we can achieve some tangible outcome. So I want to encourage everyone again to attend the various sessions that will be part of the next 2 days of the update in this university. And I will not miss this opportunity because I think this is probably my only opportunity to tell my story of my involvement in the LNG development through a series of slides. I don't have to make a presentation, but use this opportunity. As I said, I may not have this opportunity again to tell my story because I was also, as the Minister knows very well, being actively involved in the negotiations of the LNG project, the UBSA, Umbrella Base Agreement Initiative of Government in East New Britain, and then the License Base Agreement in Hela province. And so it taught me a lot of lessons about negotiations. It also gave me a lot of insights about some of the remotest parts of PNG, and in my own wisdom felt that the LNG project, if managed well, will truly transform this country. And that was a couple of years ago now that I was involved. So I'll just move across and just show you the slides as my way of contributing to this very important seminar. It won't take long. Okay, I was the lead negotiator for Juha. Juha is a greenfield in a location south of Koroba and north of Western District, but in the Nomad District. Next slide. All right. This is the timeline that we were involved in terms of the negotiation. And I didn't miss the opportunity to see the first cargo out of PNG last year. Next slide. This is just a projection. It gives you a comparison of what the oil was able to produce for this country, and of course, projection on the LNG. Next slide. Next slide. All right. This is the footprint of the LNG, and you will see that I think my involvement was the front end, and of course, I witnessed the tail end, Minister. In between, one of these days, you and I will trek through that track. Thank you. Next slide. Next slide. All right. This is my first impression of Southern Highlands in Moro. When we got there, the late Hami Yawari and his tribesmen fronted up asking questions about why we were there and what's happening in terms of the negotiations. Next one. This is my experience of Juha for 6 weeks. And I think my wife and children were very impressed that their dad was able to go through this experience. And it's just a canvas. And go back to the next slide. You see that bag? ExxonMobil gave us a bag, and in that bag we kept all our belongings, and that's my mattress, and that's my bed space. Keep going. That's the experience. That's the campsite where we held the negotiations for Juha. Keep going. This is how the conditions were. It rained. It's one of the most remote places in PNG. A lot of rain. It rained every day. Minister, the only thing they forgot to do was to give us those books. So I went with my office shoes And you can see, let me keep going, that's our dining space. Keep going. Next slide, sir. Sorry, yep. All right. For some of you, you know John Wabisala. John Wabisala is one of the key persons in the Juha negotiation, and that's the tent we undertook the negotiations. Keep going, next one. Okay, this is the beginning of another tension in Juha, and I had to plug out all I know about strategy and tactics, teaching the business school to try and go through that mind map, but I tell you, the theories didn't work. Okay, that's the next one. Again, keep going. Okay, this is part of my team. We had to regroup and brainstorm and say, where did we go wrong in the negotiations? Keep going. Okay, that's time out. I decided that the stress was too high, too much, and decided to go for a walkabout. And these are two of the landowners that had the good opportunity of meeting. Next slide. That's me. Next slide. Okay, the ministers just told me where it is, but I've forgotten. I'm growing old now, but it's a very impressive structure across a gorge. Next one. Now, guess who is this? Professor Subrao. That's right. That's Peter O'Neill and me, the Prime Minister. That's in Japan. After the LBSA and UBSA, we went on to negotiate with those who are going to buy our gas. Keep going. Go. That's what's happened, etc. Keep going. Okay. If you've gone to Postal 125 Napanapa, or not Napanapa, but before that, that's the actual inside of the guest tank, but that's in Japan, right? And that's the bottom. So we were able to see the tank, and it's really deep. Yeah, keep going. Again, another timeout. International negotiations also had some challenges that we had to seek wisdom from our senior statesman, and that's me and the Grand Chief. He said, son, just keep pushing on. Thank you. That's where the first cargo of our LNG arrived in Tokyo. That's in Japan, that's the terminal. It was under construction at that time. And of course, this is the tale then. I've been to Juha, did the negotiations on the LNG project. We're talking about LNG and the economic LNG and how it's going to transform our country. My only hope is that when I go back to this community school, it would have changed. All right? And these other people would have benefited. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, and I wish everyone a successful update and a memorable time at the University of Papua New Guinea. Thank you so very much.
Modern technology sometimes will confuse you. All right. Thank you, Vice Chancellor. We have another important guest, and she represents the school that is part of the Papua New Guinea update. I'd like to welcome Professor Veronica Taylor, Dean College of Asia Pacific Australian National University, to give a welcome address for the occasion. Thank you.
Distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, as the Dean of the College of Asia and the Pacific at Australian National University, I'd like to join with Vice-Chancellor Mellum in welcoming you very warmly to the 2015 PNG update. I'd like to particularly acknowledge the presence of the Finance Minister, the Honourable James Marape, and also our Australian High Commissioner, Deborah Stokes. I'm delighted to see so many of you here for this event and for what I hope will be really a stimulating 2 days of discussion and debate. It's great to see support and interest for such an important opportunity to discuss public policy issues. It's also great to see a group that includes not only distinguished academics and policymakers, but also the next generation of thinkers and researchers on public policy here in Papua New Guinea. I bring very warm greetings from the ANU Vice-Chancellor, Professor Ian Young. He very much wanted to be at this event and regrets that another commitment prevents that. As many of you know, the PNG update is not a new event, but sadly it disappeared from the calendar around 2008. It was held again in 2013 in Canberra, and last year returned to Port Moresby. So not only has the update returned here to UPNG this year, but it's in a much bigger and more ambitious form. So this time the update will run for 2 days, not a single day, and it has grown enormously from having only a small number of invited speakers to this year being large enough to accommodate parallel sessions and more than 50 papers. The PNG update that's being held here this year is also part of a suite of research activities that we are sponsoring at ANU that focus very heavily on PNG's role in the region. So the update complements the Pacific update that we will hold next month in Suva, and also then our State of the Pacific conference, which will be held at ANU in September. So I hope that we'll see many of you there again for that event as well. All of those activities really give us an opportunity to strengthen the intellectual exchange between ANU and UPNG. So the invigoration of the PNG update really is also a marker in the way in which our relationship is developing at the university level. Last night, I spoke at the opening of a photographic exhibition which commemorates that deep connection between our two universities. We've been working together since the 1960s in many different ways and across many different disciplines. Today we've moved that photo exhibition here to the update, and so when you go outside this main lecture theatre, you'll be able to see that display, and I'd encourage you to have a look at it. In March of this year, we were delighted to welcome Vice-Chancellor Mellum to ANU, and the occasion then was the signing of a memorandum of understanding between the Crawford School of Public Policy and the University of Papua New Guinea. We already have staff from ANU here working at UPNG, and we've received a number of visits from your colleagues at UPNG to us at ANU for both study and research. And we look forward to many more of those opportunities to work together at each other's campuses in the future. What we have in common is that we're both national universities, and so we have a special role in supporting the relationship between our two countries. PNG matters enormously to Australia, and Australia matters to PNG. And so it's appropriate that since our political and economic interests overlap, that the university should be collaborating strongly to create the intellectual framework for stronger and better discussion about how to advance our interests together and how to strengthen public policy. I'd like to take this opportunity to express my own personal commitment to strengthening that relationship, certainly for the time that I will be serving as Dean. And I know that many of my colleagues at ANU share that view, including our own Vice-Chancellor, Ian Young. We're also fortunate in Australia that beyond the university, we have the strongest possible support from our foreign minister. She is keenly interested in the Australia-PNG relationship, but she's also extremely interested in the relationship that's developing between ANU and UPNG. And she's constantly asking us to do more and to do it better. I look forward to the coming 2 days and to all of the discussion and the debate that we'll be enjoying together. There are some really good papers that are part of the program. And this year, what is also important is that there'll be an opportunity for those papers to be published in what I think will become quite a high profile and widely read publication. So to those of you who are participating as speakers, I would say thank you very much for your contribution. And I would also encourage you to aim for publication and to really contribute to the tangible form of the research output of the update as well. I'd also say that since we are universities and we are partnered together, we shouldn't be afraid of strong debate and respectful disagreement. This is a chance to really share views in a very open way, and that, after all, is the bedrock of universities. That is why universities exist, to sharpen our thinking and to really provide a strong basis for the public policy that flows from the basic research. So on behalf of ANU, welcome to the 2015 PNG update. I really hope that you'll find the next 2 days tremendously stimulating, insightful and rewarding. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Professor Taylor. In the start of this program this morning, I forgot to mention the kind support of our sponsors. So if you're one of them sitting here, we'd like to thank a number of people who've kindly committed their time and especially money for making the 2015 PNG update possible. Our friends from the AUSAID program, the Australian government, have contributed significantly. We have our friends from the Asian Development Bank. From the Australian National University, we also have the support of the Aaron Mitchell Foundation. And we have, of course, the support of UPNG through the School of Business Administration. So these were the main sponsors of the event today, so we'd like to take this time to acknowledge them formally and thank them for having supported us to stage this major event. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure now to call upon the Australian High Commissioner, Excellency, Deborah Stokes, to present the inaugural address for the 2015 PNG update.
Deborah Stokes. I'd like to acknowledge the Honourable James Marape, Minister for Finance, Professor Mellum, Professor Lakshmi Pillai, Dean of the School of Business Administration at the University of Papua New Guinea, Dr. Ken Nungan, Secretary of Finance, Professor Taylor, Mr. Jim Adams, former Vice President for the East Asian Pacific of the World Bank, US Ambassador Walter North, World Bank Country Rep in Papua New Guinea, Steffi Stahlmeister, international guests, ladies and gentlemen. It's a great pleasure and privilege to participate in the 2015 PNG update. This conference is on its way to becoming, again, a flagship event for economic and public policy analysis and debate in Papua New Guinea, and Australia is very proud to be a sponsor. The agenda for this year's update provides, in a snapshot, the exciting future that Papua New Guinea faces, the opportunities and potential. It also shows the risks. Papua New Guinea is very different to what it was 5 years ago, and in 5 years' time, there will be much more change. The LNG project has been an eye-opener about the potential for Papua New Guinea. Deepening Australia's strong diverse relations with Papua New Guinea is a high priority for Australia, as Professor Taylor said. Today, I'd like to talk to you about how Australia's relationship with Papua New Guinea is growing and responding to the changing opportunities in both our nations, and to show that we are setting a course for our relationship which is one of partners working closely together in a dynamic region. Our economic links are very strong. Nothing indicates this better than the investment figure. Australian investment in Papua New Guinea is valued at 20 billion Australian dollars. This is double the level of Australian investment in Indonesia. Australia is also Papua New Guinea's largest trading partner. And in 2013-14, bilateral trade was worth 6.8 billion Australian dollars. Over 5,000 Australian companies do business with Papua New Guinea. So geographical closeness, historical ties, people-to-people links underpin those economic links. But clearly, business sees the opportunities in Papua New Guinea. They wouldn't be here otherwise. For our two countries, extractive industries are a driver of growth and prosperity. The theme of this update, development challenges in the LNG era, is relevant to both our countries. With dramatic recent falls in world commodity prices, both our countries are faced with difficult policy and budget decisions to ensure the long-term stability of our economies and the prosperity of our people. Both governments have acknowledged the impact on revenues of lower prices for petroleum, natural gas and other commodities, and are taking corrective action. The Treasury Secretary, Mr. Dari Valley, has announced that Papua New Guinea will commence a review of its budget to adjust to the new reality. As stated recently in Lae by Australia's Minister for Trade and Investment, the Honourable Andrew Robb, both Australia and Papua New Guinea need to take this opportunity to strengthen the fundamentals in our economies, to make them, in his words, match fit. We need policies that promote increased productivity and attract investment. Australia is working with Papua New Guinea to build further on this economic partnership. The Australia-PNG Economic Cooperation Treaty was signed by Prime Minister Abbott and Prime Minister O'Neill in March last year in Port Moresby. This treaty brings together trade, economic cooperation and development cooperation under a single agreement, providing a framework for growing economic ties. And it's very much about a relationship that is more trade than aid. The treaty will come into force when the relevant processes in both countries are concluded. We're also working in a range of other ways to help build the enabling environment for business and investment in Papua New Guinea. The PACER Plus trade negotiations are an important part of this, and they are reaching a very positive stage. Our development cooperation program will also continue to support the building blocks of a modern economy, including through support for law and justice, education, health, governance and infrastructure, and support for gender equality. But we are changing the way we implement this assistance to give greater recognition to the role of the private sector as the engine of growth. As a consequence, 30% of Australia's development assistance to Papua New Guinea will be redirected to support private sector-led growth and aid for trade by 2017. As part of this commitment, a new private sector development framework identifies a range of investments to increase the role and productivity of the private sector in Papua New Guinea. As nearly 85% of the PNG population derive their livelihood from agriculture, Australia is increasing support to small holders with a focus on increased productivity, value chains and access to markets and services. Lack of economic infrastructure inhibits private sector growth, and as sought by the Papua New Guinea government, Australia is going to increase its investment in infrastructure in Papua New Guinea as a proportion of the aid program from 37% last year to approximately 50% in 2017. Australia is also engaging the private sector as a strategic partner to bring fresh ideas to the development economic challenges faced in Papua New Guinea and to leverage increased combined resources. We have in place a very constructive aid and development dialogue with the private sector in Papua New Guinea, facilitated by the Australia PNG Business Council and the Papua New Guinea Business Council. We have agreed to work together to explore practical cooperation in the area of TVET, technical and vocational training, and also in the area of fighting and preventing tuberculosis. We have also launched a new round of the incentive fund with a new feature that invites the private sector to also make proposals. Turning to other areas of our relationship, Australia and Papua New Guinea have initiated two path-breaking programs. The first is the New Colombo Plan. Like the original historic Colombo Plan that started in the 1950s, its aim is to build people-to-people links and regional engagement that will last a lifetime. The New Colombo Plan supports this vision by offering Australian students scholarships to undertake study, internships, or mentorships at institutions in our region. So for the first time, 12 students from Australia from the Federation University in Victoria have been funded through the 2015 round to come to Papua New Guinea. The first seven of these students are close to completing their four-week professional teaching practicum in Oro Province, working alongside local teachers in the Kokoda Elementary School and the Kokoda Skills Training Centre. I could not think of a more suitable location for the first placements under the New Colombo Plan. And the other five students will arrive in Papua New Guinea in the middle of 2016. So I encourage those in the audience here today to look at opportunities for further New Colombo Plan placements in Papua New Guinea. The second path-breaking initiative is the Pacific Leadership and Governance Precinct. The precinct will support PNG's vision of a more professional and ethical public service. And this follows a memorandum of understanding signed in December in Port Moresby by Australia's Foreign Minister, Julie Bishop, PNG's Public Service Minister, Sir Pukatemu, and PNG's Minister for Higher Education, Mr. Malachi Tabar. Together, Papua New Guinea and Australia will strengthen two key institutions: the transformation of the existing School of Business Administration at the University of Papua New Guinea into a new School of Business and Public Policy, and transformation of the Institute of Public Administration into PNG School of Government. The precinct as a whole will provide training, mentoring, undertake research to inform policy and foster public debate. Infrastructure will also be improved at both institutions. We've already together made a great deal of progress on the precinct. We have delivered courses on public policy, leadership, company directorship, and public administration. So this is all since February. The precinct is also supporting relationships between Australian and Papua New Guinean institutions, and over time it will build on this to become a regional initiative. The Australian National University, as we have heard, has signed a new partnership with the University of Papua New Guinea to establish greater ties between our two national universities. The University of Queensland is also working with the University of Papua New Guinea to deliver new qualifications in governance and public policy. The Australian Public Service Commission is also working with the Institute for Public Administration to deliver diplomas in public administration and accounting. I wish to now turn to three other areas of our relationship, which show that we are working together to build an even stronger partnership between our two nations in a dynamic region. We're working together in the Pacific Island Forum under the strong leadership of the Forum Secretary General, Dame Meg Taylor, to help make the region's premier regional body as effective as possible. We're also working closely with Papua New Guinea agencies to support its hosting of APEC in 2018, a tremendous opportunity for Papua New Guinea. In 14, Papua New Guinea and Australia initiated the annual bilateral security dialogue. For the first time, we had a cross-section of agencies from each country with responsibility for various aspects of security, including defence, foreign affairs, police, as well as other agencies with border protection roles. This dialogue, to be held annually, will help, over time, deepen cooperation and understanding between two close neighbours who share similar security challenges and outlook. Through all of these steps, together we are building a dynamic, contemporary relationship between our two countries, fit for the 21st century. The update itself makes an important contribution to this contemporary relationship, brings together researchers, policymakers, and the private sector to think about the contemporary issues in Papua New Guinea. It promotes collaboration as well as understanding, and importantly, public debate about central issues. I commend the University of Papua New Guinea and the Australian National University for their hosting of this very important conference. I'd also like to commend the contributors, as we have heard, the largest number ever, and this is a very positive indicator of healthy debate and growth in the research community in Papua New Guinea. I'd like to wish you the very best for a very successful 2 days. So thank you very much.
You have been listening to a podcast from the Development Policy Centre. For more information on our work, visit our website at devpolicy.anu.edu.au. To join the conversation on Australian aid, Papua New Guinea and the Pacific, and global development policy, visit our blog at devpolicy.org. At the blog, you can also sign up to our newsletter for all the latest updates or connect with us on social media. Thanks for listening.